Okay, today's daf is daf yud. So we got to the very top line. The Gemara continues on the agata of things related to the Keshamim and the creation of the world. So the Gemara says in the very top line here, Tanu Rabbanan, Eretz Yisrael nivres tchila v'chol olam kula nivra levasof. That initially when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he first created Eretz Yisrael, and only afterwards did he create the rest of the world. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Ad lo asa Eretz v'chutos, until he made Eretz Yisrael, then afterwards he made chutos, all the other lands outside, all the chutz l'arts lands. And then the Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael, mashke osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo, v'kolom kulo ayidei shliach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, waters Eretz Yisrael directly, he himself does so, when it comes to everything else, he uses a shliach. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk in Iyov, Hanosein matar al pnei Eretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he himself puts the rain al haaretz v'shalech maim al pnei hachutas, but he sends through shlichus rain to the rest of the world. Eretz Yisrael yoshose megshamim v'kolom kula mitamtes. Eretz Yisrael drinks the water from the rain directly from the clouds, as opposed to the rest of the world, they have whatever's left over from the clouds. Shenemar hanosin matar al pnei haaretz. We call matar is referring to the rain itself, and it says shalech maim, and water, that's the shiraim, the leftovers of the gshamim, the sent to chutas, the sent to the rest of the world. Eretz Yisrael shows it chila v'chalam kulo levaso. First, Eretz Yisrael gets to drink the waters of the world, the rain, and only afterwards does the rest of the world drink shenemar hanosin matar al pnei eretz v'gomer, then only afterwards is shalech maim al pnei hachutzos. And finally, the Gemara says all of this comparison and the contrast of Eretz Yisrael to the rest of the world is Mashal Adam Shemegabel Esagvina. It's like a person who mixes his cheese, prepares his cheese, that after he lets it sit and settle and however it creates itself, Notel Esa Ochel, he takes away the good, Umeniach Esa Psalos. Here as well, Klaisel takes the good, the rain, the Geshamim, and afterwards the leftover, the Shiraim, goes to the rest of the world. So Gemara says something we saw the other daf, Amar Mar. We said yesterday's daf, mam tikin hein ba'avim, that even though Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion that the rain came from the ocean, and we know the ocean, of course, is salty, but the rainwater is not salty. How does it happen? Because somehow the clouds sweeten the salt waters, make them non-salty. Minale, how does he know this? The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because if it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, cheshchas maim ave shechakim, and the Ksiv, it says elsewhere, chashras maim ave shchakim. So once it's cheshchas, and once it's chashras, the chaf and the resh are split. They switch. Shakal kaf ushade aresh, take the chaf and throw it on the resh, and karila abe, read together, chashras. So now we're putting them together, and chashras, also we have the liberty many times to switch guttural letters, so the ches can be switched with the hey in the beginning, and it really reads chashras. So this is a fancy drasha, chashras. Chashras means to machshir something, to prepare, to enhance, to better something. So we see from this that the water is a chashras, goes through a hechshir process, if you will, in the clouds, in the ave shchakim. And that's how he knows that the salt water goes through this cleansing and sweetening in the clouds. Gemara then says, Rabbi Yeshua, what did Rabbi Yeshua do? He says, not true. This is unnecessary. The waters of the rain comes from the El Yonim. There's all salt water to be cleansed. So what does he do with this drasha? Bahani cry mad darish bay. What does he darshan from these psukim? So Savarle, Rabbi Yeshua holds, ki hod dechiasa Rav Dimi Amar. When Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Israel, he reported, Amri b'marav, in the west, nar anani, when there are weak and soft and light clouds, ze'irin mawi, it means there's very little water and rain. Chashuch, if they're dark and thick clouds, anani, then sagin mawi, means there's a lot of water to come. So chashchas means choshech, the darker clouds means more rain, the lighter clouds means less rain, that's all it was. So now the Gemara says, Kiman Azla, who is the author of the following statement, Hadatani the Brisa, which says, Mayim he'elyonim b'ma'amaro heim tluyim. The waters in Shemayim are dependent on his statement, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's statement. U'peirosein, the fruits of these the waters, is make shum, the rain, to the waters is under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control, and the fruits of these storage houses up in Shemayim is the rain that comes down, that's the peiros. Shenemar mipri ma'asecha tispa aretz, from the fruits of your action, the fruits of the water, and the Yonim, the world, the ground is able to be saturated. So who holds this way? Come on, as we know, this should be Rabbi Yeshua. He holds the water comes from the El Yonim. Rabbi Eliezer, what does he do with the pasuk? Hahu b'maisa yod of Hakadosh Baruch Hu d'chsev. This is referring to not the rain, referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu's ability, that all the actions, the pre of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's creations of the world, not the peros of the water in Shemaim, but stam peros of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, his actions in the world are going to create a world that's successful and produces. The Gemara says further now, Amr Bishu ben Levi kol olam kulo mitamtis gan Eden hu shosa. The entire world actually takes the water from whatever's left over, all the shirayim of gan Eden. Shenemar says in the pasuk in Bereishis in the beginning, v'nar yotze me Eden v'gomer. The rest of the pasuk reads lahashkos es hagan, that the water is taken to water the gan Eden. Umisham, from there the pasuk goes on to say yiparid v'hayel arba roshim. It goes into four rivers, and from the rivers spreads out to the entire world. So really, the source of all waters starts off in gan Eden. Tana the Brisa says mitamtzis base core. It starts off from a very large amount of core, a base core, a large volume of water. Shosa tarke, from a base core, a large amount of water, you could be shosa a nice size area of the field. So too, from the water of the Gan Eden, the big volume there, the leftover of it ends up being used for the rest of the world from that point. So Gemara now quotes an interesting Brisa, Tani Rabbanim. Eretz Mitzrayim have you arba meos parsel, arba meos parsel. That's the measurements, the dimensions of the Eretz Mitzrayim is 400 parsel by 400 parsel. V'hu echad shishim b'kush. This is only 1/60th the size of the country of Kush. The Kush echad shishim be'olam, and the Kush is 1/60th of the entire world. V'olam echad shishim be'gan, and the world is 1/60th of the Gan. Gan is different than Gan Eden, as we'll see. The Gan is echad mishishim le'eden, and the Gan is only 1/60th the size of what's called Eden. The Eden is Echad Shishim Gehenim. It's only 1/60th the size of a Gehenim. And Nimsa Kol Olam Kulo Kikisa Keder Gehenim. In other words, the size of Gehenim is so big, it's the same ratio as a pot to a huge, a lid. It's very small in comparison to the whole pot. So to the world, it's considered very small to this massive Gan Eden. The Yeshom are those who hold them. Gehenim Ein Lashir. Gehenim is so big, there's no limit to it, actually. It's boundless. The Yeshamim Aden ain't no shir. Others say Aden has no shir. It's boundless as well. So Amar Rabbi Oshaya, what does it mean in the pasuk when it says in Yirmiyahu, Shochant al Maim Rabim Rabas Otzaros, that it rests upon a lot of waters and therefore the food there is very in abundance. Mi garm le bavel shu otzoseh mileos bar. What is the cause? What's the reason why Bavel is full of so many different crops? Have the Omer Mipnesha Shocheres Amayim Rabim. Since Bavel rests upon a very moist and a lot of rivers there, therefore that produces an abundance of food. So Amar Rav, Rav says, Asire Bavel, the wealthy in Bavel, Dechatzti below Mitra, that they're able to harvest their property, their crops, without any rain. You don't need rain because the ground itself is so moist. And Amar Abai says, Naktinan, we have a tradition that Tovani v'lo Yavshini, that the areas of Bavel is very wet and moist and not very dry. And for that reason, those who are wealthy don't need to rely on rain. The ground itself, the property itself, is moist enough to produce an abundance of crops. And now the Mishnah says, we're pretty much over with the Gata, at least for now, for the rest of the day's daf. The new Mishnah tells us as follows. We've been talking about saying V'sein tal amatil racha. So when exactly did one say it? So Gemara says it's machlokas in the Mishnah here. B'gimel b'mar cheshvan sho'alim esagisham. And the third day of cheshvan is when we start asking for it, according to the Tanna Kamma. And Rabbi Gamliel omer b'shivabo on the seventh day of cheshvan, which is how we paskin in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, why seventh day of mar cheshvan? Tesvav yom achar achag k'dei shi'agia achon shubi Yisrael l'nar pras. Because we need 15 days for people to leave from Eretz Yisrael for Aliyah L'Regel. They need 15 days to get to the furthest place in Bavel. That took 15 days, so we don't want it to start raining while they're traveling home. Because if they get stuck in the rain, it gets muddy, and they get they'll get very upset. They may not come back next year for Aliyah L'Regel. So we want to make sure the rain doesn't come until after they get home 15 days later. And that's the understanding. Even though some Rishonim felt that nowadays we don't have the Aliyah L'Regel, so this shir should not be relevant anymore, but nonetheless, since this was the minhag back then, the time of the Beis Hamikdash, this continues to be the minhag as well, even bizman hazeh. So Gemara says that's all true when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, and that's why paskin. Amar Rabbi Elazar halacha k'rabban Gamliel. The Tani, the Baruch says, Chanani Omer ubegola in Galus in Chutz Aretz ad shishima betkufa. You need to wait to 60 days after the tkufa, depending on the season. In Babel, since the water that we, as we saw earlier, that there's so much water in Babel because the rivers, you don't need rain immediately. You can wait 60 days later. As we know, December 4th, December 5th is when we start saying it in Babel. Now, what does it do with us? We have a very different season than in Babel, and this is the question they all ask. Even though every country should really go based on their seasons and not December 4th, which has nothing to do with us, in the end, since that was accepted as the practice in Gola, that became the minhag everywhere. I'm sure there are much deeper meanings to it, but that was the simple way how it got into halacha, 60 days after the tkufa of somehow the calculation of the season. Now, something very fascinating, the Beis Yosef points out that December 4th was actually a newer date. The date used to be, before they added on and changed the calendars and adding on July and August, the date actually used to be November 22nd, which is today. That was the date that actually said Vesein Tal Matavaka on November 22nd. Because of some changes and additions to the calendars, they had to switch it later to December 4th, December 5th, which is now our practice, Bizman Hazeb. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kechanan, that's how we paskin, 60 days after, which means December 4th or December 5th in a leap year. Ain't is that really true? Vabbay Mine Mishmuel. Didn't they ask from Shmuel the following shaila? Me'emes midarchinan v'sein talamater. From what point, when do we start asking or mentioning it? Or are we asking for it? Amalhu michimay letzivi lebetavas rishpa. When people start bringing in the wood from outside, that's not a date in December 4th, the 60 days afterwards. It's whenever people start bringing in the wood from inside. Because they let their wood outside to dry. And after drying for a whole summer, they don't want to get wet again from the rain. So whenever that is. So they say, what's the shaila? Dilma idi v'idi chad shiru. Maybe that's the same exact zman. It's the same thing. When do they start bringing in the wood? When are they concerned the rain's going to come? That's December 4th. That's 60 days after the tkufa. So Ibailu, Gemara asks the question now. Okay, so we've established that 60 days after the tkufa, whatever that means in the season, that's when you start saying v'sein tal matracha. So asks the Gemara, very basic. What do you do on day 60? Is that when you change it or after day 60? In other words, Ibailu, yom shishin Kilifnei Shishim, is day 60 itself, December 4th, like days before it, and you don't ask it yet, it's not until the day afterwards? Or maybe Shkalacha Shishim, or maybe the 60th day is like after the 60 days, whereby you do start saying V'sein Talamat Avracha. I mean, what do you do on day 60? So says the Gemara, Tashma, very clear, Rav Amar Yom Shishim, Kilacha Shishim, which means you start saying it already on day 60. Shmuel Amar, Yom Shishim, Kilifnei Shishim. No, you don't say it until day 61, really. That's Shmuel's understanding. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak of Vesimanach and Nemanach, to help you remember who says what, Rav says it's Kilachar, and Shmuel says Kilifnei, the Simanach is as follows. Nemanach says as follows. Eloi Baimai, Tatai Lo Baimai. Those who are living in high elevations, mountaintops need more rain than the bottom of the mountain. Why? Because when it rains, it goes to the bottom. So those who are on top need more water than those below. How does that relate to Rav and Shmuel? So if you look at Rashi, just to explain the mnemonic here, Rashi says five wide lines down. He says, ta-ta, lo baimayim. The water on the bottom, or rather the bottom, doesn't need water because all the rain comes. You don't need extra water on the bottom. Shemiskansin kol miyemei haharim. All the mountain waters come to the bottom. Lebika, to the valleys. Hachanami Rav Shayab Me'eretz Yisrael. He was on an elevated area. Michi Asa Rav Lebavel. Verichel Gavol Michal Aratos is higher than all the other areas. Mishim Hachi Amar Kila'acha Shishim. In other words, since Eretz Yisrael was higher, it was elevated, it needs more water. So Paskin, you should start saying already from the day 60, you need to start asking for water earlier because it comes from a higher place. That's the mnemonic, not the reason, but that's just the mnemonic to help us remember. Rav, who came from Eretz Yisrael, who came from a higher elevation, mountains need more water. That's why Paskin to start, that's not why, but that reminds us that he Paskin to stay B'sein Talamat L'Racha already from day 60. Gemara says, how do we Paskin Halach L'Maisa? Amar Papa Hilchasa Yom Shishim Kil'achar Shishim, like the opinion of Rav, which means we start saying V'sein Talamat L'Racha on day 60, which for us means December 4th. So now the Mishnah says it. So now we've discussed a lot about rain. We discussed Masher Ruach, we discussed V'sein Talamat L'Racha. Now we're getting to a whole conversation, which is pretty much the rest of the Masechta, about fasting when it doesn't rain. And this is the first Mishnah which talks about this. The Mishnah says, "Higid Yud Zayin b'Mar Cheshvan v'lo Yardu Ksham." Let's say by the 17th of Cheshvan, 10 days after they start asking V'sein Talamat L'Racha, it doesn't rain yet. By the 17th of Cheshvan, Hizchilu Hayechidim Misarim. The individual Tamni Chacham, as we'll see, it's not a Tzibur fast, so individuals begin to fast. Gimel Tainios, three fast days. Ochen Veshosim Mechashachashecha. They're allowed to eat and drink the night before. I mean, it's not a full fast day. They don't fast the night before. They can eat the night beforehand. Umutarim B'malacha. They could do work. Berechitza V'sicha. They're allowed to bathe and sicha. Nilas Hasanda B'tashmurita. All those are halachas. All the inuim that are aser on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are mutter on these fast days. They're low level fast days. They're not long. They're no inuim. Just don't eat for 12 hours. Yegir Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Now let's say it doesn't rain. V'lo Yarduk Shaman by Rosh Chodesh. Another 13 days later, it still hasn't rained. Then Bezin goes in Shalosh Tainios Al Tzibur. Now this becomes a serious fast, and the entire Tzibur needs to fast three fast days. Ochen Meshosin Mechashachashecha. Mechashachashecha. They're allowed to eat and drink at nighttime already. The fast only begins the morning of. All these inuim are also mutter in these days, as we'll see later on. As the situation worsens, then they add on more stringencies of that which is awesome. But right now, the first series of fast days are all very light, just fasting for 12 hours, no additional inuim. So Gemara asks the question, man yechidim, who are these individuals who are supposed to be fasting? So Amar Rav Huna, Rabbanan, the rabbis. Rabbis are the ones, the Talmid Chacham are the ones who are fasting. Amar Rav Huna, yechidim misanim shlosh tanios sheni. He adds, when these fast days are instituted, you have to do Monday, Thursday, Monday. Not Thursday, Monday, Thursday, but Monday, Thursday, Monday. What we call Bahab, that's how it should be Monday, Thursday, Monday. My K'mashalam, what's the Chiddush here? Tanina, we already know from the Mishnah, the Mishnah tells us we're going to see on a few days from today, Daf Tezvav, Ein Gozen Tainis Alat Sibor, B'tchila, B'chamishi. When you have these series of fast days, you should not begin on a Thursday. Why not? Shelo lafkia es hasharm, so it should not raise the prices. How would it raise the prices? Because everyone's going to be very hungry by Thursday. They're fasting. So not only they need food for Thursday, but they also need for Shabbos. So there's going to be a high demand. It's going to drive up the costs. So we don't want that to happen. So make it a Monday, Thursday, Monday. But to have two fast days, Thursday, Monday, Thursday of fasting, that's going to be 2 weeks in a row of a high cost. Therefore, they said do Monday, Thursday, Monday. So that's a Mefuris Mishnah later on. So what's Rav Huna telling us here as well? You have to start Monday, Thursday, Monday. That's what the Mishnah told us already. So Gemara says further, again, Shalal Hafkiyas HaSha'arim, Ela Shalosh Tanyos HaRishonim. The first three fast days should be Sheni, V'chamishi, Sheni. Monday, Thursday, Monday. Not Thursday, Monday, Thursday. So what's the Chiddush from Rav Huna? So Gemara says, Ma'od the same, what would one have thought? One would have thought, Hani Kumile Tzibur. Maybe only by the Tzibur. The Mishnah talks about Ein Gozen Tainis Alat Tzibur. When the entire community is fasting, that's going to drive up the prices. When there's a great need of fasting on a Thursday, then another Thursday right before Shabbos. About when it comes to Yachid, a few individuals, they're not that many. A small population is not going to drive up the cost. And love that, won't there's no need to do Monday, Thursday, Monday. You could do even a Thursday, Monday, Thursday for the Yechidim. That's what we would have thought. Kamash Lon, Rav Huna says, even when it comes to the Tainis of the Yechidim, we should also only have it Monday, Thursday, Monday as well. And the Gemara says a Brisa that reiterates the point here. Tanya Nami Hachi. The Brisa says as well. Kishishchila Yechidim Lesanus. When the individuals would begin to fast, Misanim Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni. They do Monday, Thursday, Monday. Bahab. And Mafsikin Birashi Chadashim. Let's say it turns out after they set up the schedule, it turns out that one of the days was a Rosh Chodesh. Let's say they did Monday, Thursday. And the next Monday it falls out Rosh Chodesh, and you can't fast on Rosh Chodesh. Or if it turns out to be one of the other days, the Yamim Tovim, Haksum Megillas Tainis, it falls out on those other days. The Gemara says, "Posting, you have to stop." Meaning you can't fast on those days. You have to make it up the next Monday, Thursday after this these Yamim Tovim. So now the Gemara says here in Amud Beis, Taner Rabbanon. The Brisa says, "Al Yomer Adam Talmud Ani Eini Roy Lios Yachid." A person shouldn't say, "Ah, I'm a Talmud," which means I'm not a rabbi yet. I'm not a yachid yet. I'm not a student still. I'm still learning. So ain't it right? Lios yachid. I'm not in the category of being a yachid. I shouldn't be fasting now. Ella kol tamid chacham yachidim. Every tamid chacham is a yachid. So what does that mean? Eiz a yachid. Eiz a tamid. Who's called a yachid? Who's called a tamid? So the difference is kol shiroy limnosa parnis al tzibur. Whoever is considered who has the ability to be appointed a leader, even though he may not be a leader, but he could be, if there's a position open, he could be positioned as a leader. So that's called the Yachid. A Talmud is called Shishol and also Davar Halacha Bilimudo. A Talmud is a person who knows, you can ask him anything he wants, anything you want, from any areas, even in Masechet Kal, which is a very, I guess, the area that's not learned very much. So even if he knows that, that's called a Talmud. But a yachid is a person who is on a level considered to be could be a leader as well. It's one thing to know things, but to be a leader, that's a whole other level. So a person should not say, I'm not a talmid. I'm a talmid, I don't deserve to be. A person should say, I'm a yachid. Every person should make himself to a yachid when it comes to fasting. So Gemara says a similar point here. That's basically really machlokas. In other words, should a person be machmir and put himself in the category of being a yachid, and he should fast even though he's not a yachid yet? Or no, a person should say, I'm a talmid, I'm not a yachid yet, and I shouldn't be fasting yet. So Gemara says this is really a machlokas tanoim. As the Braita says, the Tanur Rabbanim, lo kol arotze lasos atma yachid osa, talmud osa, divrei Rebbe Meir. Not every person wants to make himself into a yachid, into a talmud chacham cat. You have to be real with yourself. You have to be honest. Who are you? Are you a yachid or are you a talmud chacham? What are you? Be very honest. That's shita Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yossi Omer, osa, you can. A person, although he's not a yachid, a person can make himself a yachid. When the Mishnah says Yechidim could fast and should be fasting, don't say I'm not a yachid. A person should be machmir and say, maybe I am considered a yachid. Why? V'zach l'tov, it's actually very praiseworthy to make a person into a yachid. L'fi she'ein shevach hulo, elatzar hulo. So to say I'm a yachid, you're not getting any cover by you fasting. There's no praise in that. You're not sitting on a dais. You're not getting a big honor. You're just fasting. It's tzar. So in this case, you'll have to be machmir. You're not getting honor in doing so. And therefore, people should be machmir and consider themselves a yachid, legabi this particular halach, at least, when it comes to fasting for the rain. So Tani Idach, the other brisa says, lo kol arotze lasos atzmo yachid oseh, talmud oseh, divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Allah. So you can't just make yourself into a yachid or talmud. You have to know who you are. But Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, but when is it Shuba Davar Shel Shevach? When it comes to a certain praise, a certain honor, then a person should avoid putting himself in the category of being a yachid. Aval b'davar shel tzar, when it comes to things of pain, things of discomfort, then also a person can be machmer and make himself and graduate to a yachid. V'zarcha l'tov, as we just said, she'ein a shevach hulo, it's not a shevach, it's not a praise for him, ela tarhulo, it's uncomfortable, it's and therefore permitted. Gemara says halfway down the Amud here, Tani Rabban. Misha yomes anel ha-tzara v'avra ala cholav v'nisrapeh. If a person's fasting because of a certain tzara that's happening, and midway through the fast, that tzara removes itself, it's over. Or a person's fasting on one who's ill, and that cholah gets healed. So one might think maybe he should just end the fast, just cold turkey, I can eat now, everything's the cholah is healthy. Says the Gemara, ha-reiz misana u'mashma. A person must complete his fast day. Why? So Rashi explains here, al hacholav in the Shrapa, Rashi just gives another example. Hu adinim meis hacholav bar lekumi nidro. So even the opposite happened. Let's say the person dies. So now, if the guy gets healed, he can maybe get sick again, you should continue the fast. But if the guy's dead, what's happened, happened. Nothing to do anymore. Ma'ad hava hava. So maybe in that case, one would think he could actually end his fast. So Rashi says, you can't end the fast. Why not? So Rashi says, al tzaris v'avra. It says Rashi, Vimla Mesanim Mashim. I'm sorry, the Rashi wants to is Baila Kima Nidro. Since the guy made a nether, he says, a guy is sick, the tzar is happening, I'm making a nether upon myself to fast. So first, for a person to end the fast midway, he's not fulfilling his nether, and therefore, since it's midin nether, that's why he must complete the fast, even though the outcome he was looking for was already happened, or it's already impossible to happen. Nonetheless, he still has that nether, it must be Mesana Umashim. So then the Gemara says more about fast days. Haholich mimakum she'ein misanim lamakum shemisanim. A person's traveling from a place where they're not fasting and going to a place where they are fasting. So what's the din? Does he have to fast? He comes from a makum where there's no fasting. So the Gemara says harei zeh misana iman. You have to fast with them because you have to take on the chumros of the makum where you're going to. Let's say a person is going from mimakum shemisanim. He's leaving a place where they are fasting, and he's going to a lamakum shein misanim, to a place where they're not fasting, maybe he could end his fast. Harezim misanim mashim. He must complete because he comes from a makum where they were fasting, and this is what we saw in the Gemara Pesachim. They take on the chumros of the makum from where you come from, the makum where you're going, and therefore either way he's stuck. Shachach v'achal v'shasa. Let's say the guy forgot he's in the middle of fast day, and he accidentally ate, he accidentally drank. What do you do at that point? Al Yisrab b'fnei Tzibur, a person should not eat in front of the Tzibur, and to say, you guys are fasting, I'm not fasting. V'ayanhig edunim b'atma, he also should not eat any delicacies. If a guy broke his fast, okay, this fast is over. So two things. One is don't enjoy it. Don't get a nice steak and whatever else you like to have. Number two is don't do this in front of other people. You should have a little sensitivity to others who are fasting. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Yaakov Levanov, Lama Tisra, why are you showing yourself here? Amalam Yaakov Levanov, he was telling his sons, even though they had a lot of food, Al Tiru Atzmechem Kishatem Sveim, don't give the impression, don't let our neighbors know that we have food and that we're full. Lo b'fnei Esav, lo b'fnei Yishmael. Don't let Esav, Yishmael, and their children know that we have plenty of food. Kedei shlois kanu b'hem. That they shouldn't be jealous. And that's why Yaakov sent his sons down to Mitzrayim to get food, even though they didn't necessarily need the food, because he did not want them to give the impression that we have food and you don't. So to one who is not fasting should not eat in the presence of those who are fasting. It creates a certain amount of jealousy. Gemara says further now, having spoken about the concept of Yaakov sending the boys down, the sons down to Mitzrayim and back and forth, the Gemara darshens a few pesukim related to that. Al tirguzu b'derech, when Yosef told the brothers to go back to get Yaakov, he says to them, don't fight along the way. So Pashup Shat was, don't fight about whose fault Mechir Yosef was. Don't fight, just let it be and just go get Yaakov. But Amar Rebelazah, he darshan, no, Amar Lam Yosef was telling them, of course they weren't going to fight. These were the Shiftei Ka, they're not going to fight. What he was telling them was, Yosef La'achiva, al titasku b'davar halacha. Don't learn, when you're learning, don't be osik in halacha. Shema tirgudu alecha maderach. Maybe you're going to get lost along the way. You might lose where you are. You might get held back. Just go straight to get our father. Don't talk in any learning. To ask Gemara, that's strange, not to talk and learning when you're traveling. How could that be? Eini. V'hamar b'lai bar brachya shnei tamidi chachamim shema'alchin b'derech. Of two tamidi chacham are walking. V'ein b'neim divrei Torah. And there's no Torah within them, amongst them. They're not talking in limud Torah. Ru'in l'sarif. They're worthy of being burnt. Shneimar says in the pasuk in Malachim. V'yu heima holchin v'davar v'diber v'daber v'nei rechav esh. They're talking with Daber, and a chariot of fire, and a horse of fire came between them, and they were unscathed. But the Gemara darshins from here only because there is a Vidaber, there's a Divrei Torah that is spoken, because Taim Adika Dibor, they were speaking in Limud Torah, Haleka Dibor, if they weren't speaking, Ruin Lisarv, they should have been burnt by this Esh of the Sus and the Rechev, so we have a person must be learning on the way there. So how could Yosef Atzadik tell them not to learn while they're traveling? And the Gemara answers, Lokasha, Halemigras, Holy Yune. There's Migras in the Yune. That's what's called Bekias and what's called Iyun. Migras is to chazer the text. They didn't have Sfarim like we had. They had to memorize what they learned. So that was Migras. They just go through and just memorize. They'd go through all the Mishnahs and so on. That's Migras. That doesn't distract you. You could do. That was just memorization. You could travel and walk and just test each other on the Girsa. That's allowed when traveling. But to discuss Iyun, Akasha from the Tosos and the Ramban, that gets a person very confused. He gets lost along the Derech. That's when he was warning them, just do Girsa, but don't do Iyun when you're traveling back to get Yaakov Avinu. Gemara says now in the Braisa, more about traveling. B'masnisa Tana, the Braisa taught us, Al tafsiya b'psiya gasa, a person should not take large steps when walking. V'chnisu chama le'ir, a second point, a person should also walk when it's nice out. Don't come into a city in the middle of the night. You should come when the sun is up, so it's safe for a person to simply understanding. Al tafsiya b'psiya gasa, why not take a large steps? Damar mar, p'siya gasa no tells echan mechamesh me'as me'or enough sh'adam. If a person takes large steps, it takes away 150th of his eyesight. That's the understanding. Tos asks the obvious question. If a person takes 500 big steps, that means he's going to go blind. Of course, we see that's not true. What it means is the ratio, whatever's left over, so 1/500th and 1/500th of 499 and 1/500th from 149.8, that whole drasha, it's percentage-wise, which will never get to zero. As we know, it's always taking off just a small percentage. Now, the Gemara does tell us, it's brought down in Halacha, the Ramah, those who do lose vision because of this, when they look at the Leil Kiddush, when it comes to Friday night davening, they look at the Kiddush cup, that somehow is a segula, writes the Ramah, and based on the Gemara and Brachos, it brings back the eyesight as well. That's one lesson. Well, it's one eitzah, they said, don't walk too fast when traveling. Number two is, v'chnisu chama l'ir, a person should enter into the city only when the sun is up. Why? Based upon a person should enter in when it's nice, and it should leave when it's nice, which means Shinamar Haboker or Vanashim Shalchu. When it was light out, that's just a good bracha. The sun, the daytime is a time of bracha. That's a safe time for a person to enter into a city and to leave a city. Let's do one last piece here on Daf Yud Alf. The Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rabbi Chia, HaMahalich B'derech, a person is traveling, Al Yocha Yosef Mishnei Ravon, a person should not eat more than one would eat normally during a famine. We know when there's a famine, when there's limited food, a person eats very carefully, eats very little, you need to save food. So when a person is traveling as well, you don't eat too much, don't stuff your face, eat a little bit here and there. What's the reason? My time is with this machlokas. Hacha Targumah here in Babel, they explain Mishum Mayana. So a person shouldn't get a stomach ache from the traveling. It causes a bad stomach ache. The food won't process properly. And B'marav in the West, they said Amri Mishum Mizona, because there may not be more food. You have to save food. So is it because it's going to affect the stomach or because you may not have more food? So my Banai, what's an afkamina? So Gemara brings two afkaminas. Ika Banai, one afkamina is the Yosef, going to Daf Yud Alef now, the Yosef, Ba'arba, person's in a boat. So Rashi explains there is a concern of mizonas because there's limited food what you have in a boat. There's no place to buy from. There's no stores around. But in terms of mayana, there's no concern of the stomach because you're not really traveling. You're just sitting on the boat and the boat's moving you. So there's no concern of affecting your intestines, but there's a concern of lack of food. And therefore, you should save the food if it's based in mizonas. And then the other nafkamina the Gemara says, inami, alternatively, b'mavna l'mavna, because of ma'avna ma'avna. A person goes from city to city. So here, there's a concern of the traveling, the tircha b'derech, will affect the stomach. But since you're going from city to city, this place to buy food, there's no concern of a shortage of food. And therefore, depending how you understand it, that would dictate whether this would be the same concern when traveling from city to city. Let's quickly recap what we did. We started talking about how Eretz Yisrael was different than the rest of the world in terms of where the rain came from, the order of the rain. We saw a few differences. We compared that to the one who makes cheese. You take the ochel, and the solus left over goes to the rest of the world. Then we spoke about the drash of chashras and chashras, that the darkening and the hechsher and the machshir, the salty water up in the clouds. And then the Gemara discussed about that strange brice about the Mitzrayim, the size of a Kush, the size of the world, to the size of a Gan Eden and a Ganim and so on. And then the new Mishnah told us about the machlokas when you start saying the same time of the racha gimel cheshvan or zayin we paskin zayin in chutzart it's the 60th day and on the 60th day is when you start saying same time of the racha like the pin of rav and then the Mishnah said if it hadn't rained yet by 17th the cheshvan is when we start fasting for the yechidim and if it hadn't rained by rosh chodesh then already the tzibur starts fasting as well who's a yachid the Gemara says yachid is a person who's a talmid chacham and with the fast days go Monday. Thursday, Monday, not Thursday, Monday, Thursday, so it shouldn't drive up the prices. And then the Gemara says, who's a Talmud, who's a Yachid? So a Yachid is a person who should be appointed a leader, a manning, a partner of the Tzibor. A Talmud is a person who's a Talmud Chacham, who knows everything, but not yet ready to be in a position of leadership. I mean, a Machlok is whether a person can be Machmer to make himself a Yachid. Rabbi Meir says, no, you have to know who you are. Rabbi Yossi says, you can. Because it's not a Shevach for a person to fast, it's a Tzarlo, and therefore you can be Machmer to make yourself into a Yachid. Then we discuss if a person fasts about a tzara or a chola, and then that went away, the person got better, the person got healed, then a person still must complete his fast day because it's considered a nether. You go from makom where it fast or to makom where they do fast, you have to be machmir on both ends, and if a person accidentally breaks his fast, he should not eat in front of others to avoid causing any jealousy. He should also not eat any idunim. He shouldn't have any delicacies. He should eat very simple on this day that he broke the fast. And then finally we said about the fighting along the way, that meant, of course, you should be learning, but learn something light, some bakiyas, but don't learn in, because that might confuse you, might get lost along the way. And if a person travels, he should not travel too fast, because it's going to cause a loss in vision. He also should only enter in and leave a city when it's light out. And then finally, about the person when he travels, he should not eat more than one eats during the year of famine, because either it's going to create a stomach ache for him, or he might lose the food along the way. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.